continue to educate myself and others in my community about the racism and inequities faced by BIPOC.
We will not be silent and idle.
This message is brought to you by the Canadian Anti-Racism Youth Coalition. Visit caryc.ca for more information about how you can stand up and speak out.
CFRC 101.9 FM has new social media. Find us on Instagram and Facebook at CFRC Music and keep up with the latest announcements about our programming and projects. Follow us today at CFRC Music.
And good afternoon. It is about 20 seconds after 4 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. This is Finding a Voice, a spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. And we do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. Coming up on the show today in the first hour from the January 14th and the Journey Continues open mic event, you'll hear readings in the first round of that monthly series held at the Elm Cafe. And in it, you'll hear readings by Jordan Lane, Penny Page, Baba Brules, Abby Louise, Meg Freer, Catherine Jones, Bruce Cudmore, Brent Raycroft, Keen Ryan, Eric Folsom, Leo Roberts, Anna Johnson, and then me. And then in the second hour, again, from that January 14th open mic event, again, live at the Elm Cafe. First, though, you'll hear a pre-recorded reading by Guvu and then readings in the second round at the Elm by Abby Louise, Meg Freer, Bruce Cudmore, Brent Raycroft, Keen Ryan, Sarah Cook, Eric Folsom, Leah Roberts, Anna Johnson, and again, me. And right before I air the readings, just my usual start of the hour announcement, it is that occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language, but all is played in its entirety with content unedited to honor the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. I might mention as well, you will maybe notice, I've been doing this now for... Even with these readings in the round for several years, and what I've been doing is kind of grouping poets together, separating them out. I'm using a, have to confess, I'm a little slow learning some of these new apps. I'm using a new app, sound editing app, and I'm still not 100% comfortable with it. So what I'm going to do is instead of putting small groups like three or four poets together, their readings, and then airing them, and then talking for a minute, and then, or a few seconds anyway, and then airing another group. I am just going to air it. If you would have been there, as you would have heard it. So basically what I'm going to do is not have any gaps between all the readings. The readings amount to about, what is it? About 38 minutes worth of readings. And I do introduce each person, so you do know, and I will let you know who they are again one more time before they go on, and then even after I will let you know, because sometimes I only use first names. Anyway, probably way more information than you need to know, but if you've listened in the past, you're going to find this is going to sound a little bit different. So with that... Again, these are the poets you're going to hear in the first round. You will hear back-to-back with, again, my introductions between, and just like it was that night, readings by Jordan Lane, Penny Page, Bob Brules, Abby Louise, Meg Freer, Catherine Jones, Bruce Cudmore, Brent Raycroft, Keen Ryan, Eric Folsom, Leo Roberts, Anna Johnson, and then me. So here we go, and let's see how this works. I'm using a new system, and so let's see how it turned out. Here we go. Hope you enjoy. First person you're going to hear again is Jordan Lane. Let's go ahead with that and bring up our first poet this evening. Welcome back, Jordan Lane.
Hello, everyone. This is a poem. It's called Man o' War. Its sails crack, billow under the breeze. The prodding children pause, armed with sun-bleached sticks, listening for the smart of reproach. But the words for which this ship and its crew sacrificed their lives are too small, too cellular. Besides, who has the eyes to read the message furled in the mouth of the bottle, or read history etched in crystal membrane? So they move on to the next carcass, unimpressed with the stillness they mistake for silence. Thank you.
Let's give Jordan another hand. Let's bring up Penny Page.
This isn't my poem. This is a poem that was written by my partner's brother-in-law. And it's important for this poem for you to know that he's Jewish. And the title is Holy Land. There is nothing holy about this land. Thousands of years of war, rape, and ruin. Those who value it just it with their faith and smite all who want the same. The child born here will be on one side or the other. There is no middle ground to cling to. They will learn to fear and hate the other as the soldiers march past their schools, and the women stripped bare on the pickup's bed exist as real and propaganda's fruit, mocked and used as the will dictates to arm the world with reasons to fight. They call for vengeance in the streets and scream with malice into the night. But bombs and rockets only maim, and none will rise to see the light. Try as you might, you can't make it right. The scepter and the sword will swing. God's righteous people, people both sides, and none can win in the end.
Bob, did you say second half?
Sorry?
Did you say you're reading in the second half?
Well, I'll go in the first.
First, okay, that's cool. As we give Penny another hand, let's bring up Bob Brules.
Well, hello, everyone. It's when I wrote this piece of poetry in 2019, I was less sensitive to the atrocities perpetrated by the European invasion on the native people. So, like the first stanza, we'll have a bit of an aura of Canada Day. You know, if I was to write this today, it would take slightly a different tack. But anyway, I wrote it in 2019 to present it at Fridays for Future. And so, you know, presented it at Market Square. And but anyway, I haven't read it since. So, but it's important to read it now because, as most everyone here has likely noticed, there's been a lot of pushback against ESG priorities, ESG policies and stuff. So, I mean, as a bit of a reminder, ESG is environmental, social, and governmental. So, anyway, to proceed, the title of this is Beautiful Planet. The Canada Day aura comes from the fact that I actually began writing it on Canada Day, so the feeling of it kind of permeated in. These current concerns are far from new. As performed by Canada's own The Guess Who, while the maple leaf goes unfurled, sing, don't give me no hand-me-down world. Such sentiments need much more emphasis to continue the metamorphosis, to dodge this imminent crisis for such a beautiful planet this is. Carbon, mercury, lead, and cadmium, all out of place, vomitorium. Neonic pesticides, nuclear waste, microplastics consume, make haste. The frictionless commerce we know translates to scroll, point, click, why wait? Plastic on screens to marine vertebrates. It demonstrates only friction displaced. Frequent are statements of air quotes going green, while resolutely high carbon regime. While Earth's record as archaeology seen since well before the Anthropocene continue, you know what I mean. After corporate confiscations of current and future generations, what remains for final nations? Who arrives for excavations? No current lobby are they. Campaign funding zero, no money, no way. Sapiens they will not be, almost a certainty. This is the destiny of anthropocentricity. If that's not irony, try perversity. So how rate they today's priority to policymakers and society? Reject this mediocrity. Cease expediency for this archaeology, while such a beautiful planet this is. Clever primates, while trainable eminently, one asks why. Is it legitimate agency? To achieve what exactly, ultimately? Witness drive-through service choreography. To be a champion of Gaia should not demand one be pariah. Be the shameless iconoclastic, continue to renounce the plastic. Maintain critique of paradigm, many a time there is no rhyme. For the future we wish to share, advance the fight, eclipse despair. Resist the strategy that brings confusion, denial, distraction, silence, illusion. Renounce the microcosmic focus, corporate media hocus pocus. For all of that, there's scant defense, the big landscape of acquiescence, excrescence. It makes no sense. Black Friday is apt appellation. Let's give darkness no exaltation. Best choice always illumination. No priority to lobotomization. Ramp up the shit detection, intensify all dot connection. Create another aspiration. Retaliation activation for sustainability and life affirmation. So worthy are we of preservation. And such a beautiful planet this is. Thank you.
As we give Bob another hand, let's bring up Abby Louise.
Hey everyone, it's good to see you all. Before I read, I just want to make two little announcements. So the last 5 months, I've been hosting a variety open mic at Next Church. And it's a non-judgmental, fun space for people to share music, poetry, short stories, stand-up comedy, whatever you like. And I'd love if any of you came to share your beautiful work. And it's the second Friday of every month. It starts at 7:30 and goes till around 9, and doors open at 7. I have a poster here. I'll tape it to the wall if they let me, but you can also take a picture of it if you'd like. And then the second announcement is that on February 9th at 1 p.m., I'll be doing a live-to-air music performance with CFRC Studios. I'm doing a music residency there soon, so I'll be making new music in their studio and then playing it live-to-air. So if you want to tune in, I'd love that. Thank you. I wrote this poem yesterday. It's untitled. It's a short little poem, just kind of comforting myself because I've been sick a lot and keep wondering, like, what the hell's wrong with me? This too shall pass. The illness seems to cling to you, the way darkness lingers in our shadows. But the only thing that will eat you alive is your own fear. Listen to your angel saying, "It's not your fault, dear. You are not broken. Even this recurring agony will not last. Be patient and trust that this too shall pass." Thank you.
That's a hard act to follow. So I have a little plug also to make for the Quirks of Human Nature show on Monday, January 20th at the Royal Tavern. We're calling it Quirks of Human Nature, a silly little pun because it's all science poetry that I'm doing as the featured poet this month with Deb Sherman's on piano and Michael Castile's on guitar. And coincidentally, Gervin is going to open our show with that poem, in fact, I think. And it will be possibly with music, so it'll be a little bit of a different version of the show, of the poem that she just read. And, we've got usual bonus poets and improv music to go with the poetry. And it's all science poetry, kind of co-sponsored by the McDonald Institute at Queens, where I'm doing a project. And there's a poster up there. It looks like this. This is the old poster. The new one is up there by the head of, or above the water pitcher. So Monday, January 20th at 7:30 to 9:30 at the Royal Tavern. And next month, Bruce will be on as the featured poet, February 10th. So there you go. Yeah. Okay, this is called Fully Alive. She practices speaking at 40 beats per minute, one word per click of the metronome, to let her brain rest after the concussion, a seemingly unimaginable task, except for her decades of musical training. The discipline of this new exercise, a trellis that captures disappointments and desolations, the grief and trauma of all she's lost, the buzz of nerve action when she closes her eyes. She's fully prepared to believe the construction sign near a recently built house that reads, "Danger due to dragons," the last word added by a child's hand. No one in the neighborhood wants to take the sign down. Thank you.
As we give Meg another hand, let's bring up Catherine Jones.
Okay, hi everybody. Can you hear me? My poem is called Be Transparent. Be accountable for the part you played in my demise. The adjudicators do not take kindly to a brazen soul. Let my passing haunt you forever, for you will never be exonerated from the horrendous afflictions you displayed that irrefutable day. No need to sulk now, it's a little late. As for apologizing, I don't believe a word you say. Give me back my key to my world. Your presence means nothing now. Don't delay. I am tired of your childish manifestations. Thank you.
As we give Catherine another hand, let's bring up Bruce Cudmore.
Hello. This one is called Canned Pears. Your black leather shoes on the hospital room floor and your handbag there and nods of understanding standing at the foot of your bed hoping for your things to take their rightful place in your use. The pear tree back home has been hollowed out by bugs, marred trunk but face full of flowers and promised yield. Canned pears and pear jam more than ever if the tree stands firm this summer, quite possibly its last one. In the grain of wood, on the waiting room's large door, appears your glad face, mouthing years of fruitful growth. I think of the day they rolled you to surgery, and we checked under your bed like people leaving vacation, and I found only a voiceless void. We packed up the things on your tray, glasses, books, pills. Here's to hoping, here's to knowing, that years are stored in the grain, and fruit canned, and life full of promise.
As we give Bruce another hand, let's bring up Brent Raycroft.
Thank you, Bruce. This is a poem inspired by a clip I saw on the news about 6 months ago. You may have seen it. Of all the horrific things that are available to see from Gaza, this one, oddly enough, I found inspirational, which I suppose makes me a terrorist sympathizer. Thus, the provisional title is Terrorist Poem. I could also call it, I still haven't decided, FPV, First Person View, which is a type of drone. Terrorist Poem. Oh, little drone that buzzes in and roams through rooms blown open. Whom have you found? Twice masked in keffiyeh and dust from the blast. And for whom do you find him? Reuters says that he lay dying, but there he sits, one hand missing, arm severed above the wrist, the paralyzed remaining part at rest on the arm of his chair, which faces another chair, similar but empty, as if he had been speaking with someone just now departed. Reuters says that he is seen, but he sees you, little drone, doesn't he? For now he turns to greet the machine, our proxy, which brings us near. And with the hand and arm that are yet unharmed, he raises a sword from the ruins, a spear. Oh, little drone, what will you see? What would I throw if you came for me?
As we give Brent another hand, let's bring up Keen Ryan.
Hello. So this is a poem about America, and these are Canadians. I think, you know, all the things that are going on, I think you'd, I don't know, to a degree appreciate. But anyway, it's called Pagliacci the King. You're a brat brandishing your dad's hand cannon, adamantly demanding drama be made mandatory. The dunce hat isn't a crown. This grimace isn't a frown. It's not funny watching you Russian roulette clowning around and forcing us to join in when we call you out for it. You order disappointment. Go sit in your corner and leave your stained britches for us to mend with stitches. Do we need to put a bell on you? The only leper leaping at the chance to get leprosy out of curiosity? You may not get this, but you've been at war since carcasses couldn't convince you to give up your bullets. You've been in civil war with cops since they first chipped off the Keystone Block. You're a war in man's wardrobe, a war for war's sake, a war stumbled into another by mistake, a war marrying more to provide for more wars so that you may imitate. You're a war's son with war that wars with the sun if your shadow intimidates. And the memory of that war forget ad nauseum, then dedicate. You're a disappointment holy, a child of something unholy. You're young, so I can't get too detailed. Let's just say this one's the ones who made you, raised you, shaped you, and dressed you, didn't want to, and still made lemonade through the brutality placed upon them by you. Yet you still can't step up too. You've been given the best shoes to move, but you're such a brat you need your own victims to tie them for you because you don't know how to, now do you? If you hate them, maybe stop making them. Maybe think of it before taking them. You can't return what you stole. The Play-Doh mold you use, you borrowed from old perused clay sculptures trying to make the same model over and over, stacked taller, boulder upon boulder. But you've only so many hands to stack. The kiln can only burn so hot. You'd have more hands if only you hadn't hacked them all off. You've an addiction. A sweet tooth is an affliction. Why would I appreciate people who conflate ignorance with faith in the steeple? Just go with the vibe in your gut. The gurgle within it isn't the lead in the well water, but the instinct to go extinct. Is it weak to say face in front of leather face? Cannibalism caused the stomach pain. Thanksgiving has never looked the same, now like the film I am referencing. Is it a mental health thing? Test out a cocktail of atomoxetine or atoms spinning, at most thinning. The cockroach will watch as it re-steps our walk back to the site of the first phase. Maybe this leap of faith is bringing forth the judgment day you were praying for earlier in the day when its policy is merely muscle memory to make all we saw to be seen. When American guns land in Shannon, handled by hands of Israeli gunmen, land back again into the brains of an Irishman, the UN you'd answer to then, the peacekeeper's widow's weeping, eyes like bright diamonds in the loop of a dealer. Must we understate that this stated intention of constant intervention is to apply apprehension, a smokescreen invention? What then, when smoke dissipates, and under that armor is an open dinner plate? Then the show must go on. And if war is necessary to uptick the collar stiff and wallets thick, then a foreign excursion is a waste of jet fuel. Keep it all on the grounds, keep it in the schools, keep it domestic, more jobs, keep it local too. Let them keep seeing their labors when heat-seeking lasers hit them with their own lethal tasers. Just after finishing the building phase, Russian roulette without a private jet, view it from your balcony yet. I'd be disappointed, but you wear it so well. It was written on your face, couldn't you tell? It was written in ink, in the rivers you drink. It's written on your forehead and on the kitchen sink. It's everywhere, it's in your soil. It's below it in the oil. The dinosaurs drudged up for eternity. But I can't blame you, Pagliacci the fool. You're still so young, a disappointment so soon, with your own eternity overruled.
As we give Keane another hand, let's bring up Eric Folsom.
Hello, and thank you. I wanted to write a short poem, and sorry. It's not quite gotten away from me. The lark at heaven's gate, the fold down writing desk with hidden nooks full of keepsakes and old tinted postcards, the glass topped tea cart, the dark oak sideboard, the slightly tarnished silver was kept, the chintz covered wing back chair, the sober gray Chesterfield, the framed floral painting done in oils by a friend from long ago. I read Mutton Jeff in the Sunday Globe, squinted over Pogo's two complex jokes. The Atlantic surf pounded a block down the hill, the moist gray sand of King's Beach, reflective of the weather fetching out beyond Egg Rock, Nahant's Peninsula, and the streets of Lynn. A rented duplex in the town of Swampscott, the orange cream spikes of gladiolas, yellow lawns on the rocky hillside crisp from prolonged drought and water restrictions, one bare inch permitted in the bathtub, yet the tide still washed salt water in and out, I could hear waves rolling at night in bed, in the summertime, with windows open, windows that still carried blackout curtains from the days when Germans might lurk offshore. From the days when my dad flew B-15s, their bombs tipped out over Europe's cities like white coal ash dumped in metal dustbins. He looked impossibly young in uniform. Kids who barely shaved, dying in combat. Stories my relations declined to tell. Grandmother's friends had old-fashioned names like Zilpha and Ida, Mabel and Maud. Every little breeze seemed to whisper Louise. Pink lemonade always made in the shade, and Ida was sweet as apple cider. Hark, Grampy said in that way of his. Hark. His voice intruding like arguments with Grammy while he tries to get a word in. Preferably the last word. Hark. Extra hard A with no R. Essex County. From the horse-drawn bread wagons of New Hampshire to the General Electric shop floor in Lynn. Fearless Fosdick had a puzzling hole in his head. He was too obtuse to notice the breeze. Wafting through his brain are the endless juicy steaks cooked by his girlfriend, whose love he brushed off. Hark! Grampy's voice. The sound of salt water, caramel popcorn, and taffy from domes. Their voices flood my wooden beach bucket with accents of seaweed, small crabs, and sand. Hark! Like sweetness stored in the memory. Hark! Who you are is winging through the air.
As we give Eric another hand, let's bring up Leo Roberts.
Hi, guys. It's been a while. I missed you all.
Thank you.
Going to go with an oldie but a goodie here. The lore behind this one is that after a year and a half of not talking, a former lover sent me a letter, and in a feverish haze, I wrote her back. And this piece is some... And I came here, like, the day after I wrote that reply in a feverish night, sleepless haze. And in my memory, I didn't treat it very well, but after reading it again an hour ago, I kind of like it. So, yeah, here we go. Last year you said the apocalypse began a long time ago and you were afraid of dying. And now that the dust has settled and you made a shot in the dark, your little arrow asked, how are you? Who are you now? What's left between us if not a corpse? I believed you could only understand someone when you could hold the moon in your hands, but you taught me that love means outstretching your arms anyways. You forfeited the right to know me when you discarded who I used to be. So, I caught your little arrow, and all I can say, I'm sorry, I'm far away. I've never known how to live this life. We lived through the end, and I wish you well. What's left between us isn't a corpse, not even a ghost. It twinkles in the heavens and remembers us out of reach. We were never going to stay on Earth.
To give Leo another hand, let's bring up Hannah.
Hi, everyone. I didn't know there was another Hannah. This was inspired by Bruce Kaufman's writing workshop at Joan Gervais' art tour in the beginning of October, and Meg Freer was there too.
and is going to be published in the winter's issue of the online semi-annual Devour Art and Literature Canada Journal. Thank you. My first publication. Carved trees. I made in the image of the trees, green hues of sunrise, spring molding my blood flow, red cells dancing through my body, creating my pelvis, scapula, shoulders, arms, and feet. Verdant shades emanating within pores, sweat moist of moss. Beneath, fresh, tender, nurturing soil spreading among white blood cells, fighting off anomalies. Ripe grass, blades blowing from wind gusts and soft sways alike, listening to the weather's wrath and peacefulness. Above, the blue sky, vast and empty, ready for clouds of dawn, gibbous moon lighting up my heart, left ventricle receiving the river of burgundy, right ventricle pumping life into uncoiling leaves of bloom, expectant of the recoiling of winter snow carved on blue spruce.
Let's go ahead and give Anna another hand. Penny? Penny? Penny?
Yeah?
I forgot your hat.
Oh, yes. I apologize that I have to do that.
That's okay. Is there anyone else that I forgot before I read and we close this first half? Is there anybody I forgot or that decided they wanted to read that hadn't signed up? Good enough. Well, while I get my thing anyway, you've heard some wonderful poetry tonight, some powerful poetry, beautiful poetry, heart-touching poetry. Let's give yourselves and everybody else another hand. And atypical for me as well, but it seems to be kind of a night for that. It's a little bit longer piece than I normally read. It's called Journey. You are not, but you feel as if you're in a dream. There, walking in a remote area, not really a forest, but almost. And you stumble upon two old wooden vacant buildings. The first, the size of maybe a smallish house, very weathered, very old. But it feels less like once a house, perhaps more like it was instead a business, maybe a bar, maybe a bank, maybe a clinic, or perhaps even a quaint church. In just a snippet, a snap of memory, you yourself seem to recall having been there, in it, in better times. But you can't be sure. You stand just outside its door, reaching for the handle, and remind yourself again. Think for just a minute you were there before, earlier, recently, perhaps even this morning. But again, you can't be sure. And before you go inside, right away and right now, you are more attracted to that much smaller building beside, just a few steps away. And you let go of that handle, instead walk over to it. It's very much smaller, not even really as big as a tiny room. Still bigger than an outhouse, though, but you know even before you go inside, it was never that. You open the door. You find it even smaller than you believed it would be. It's only perhaps four short steps from the door to its back wall and from side to side. You are attracted to something hanging near the top of that back wall. It's a piece of art, handcrafted, sculpted perhaps, or molded, three-dimensional. in a design resembling a very small branch with short twigs spurring off. It might be 12 or perhaps 15 inches long from side to side, but perhaps only 3 or 4 inches from top to bottom, and the same extending outward toward you with its random and few small twigs branching off, creating all of that. This piece seems mounted to the front of an old, dirty mirror, so dirty any true reflection cannot be seen. You believe it is a mirror, but you can't be sure. As you run your finger across that artwork, you believe the piece of branch and twig is made of gold, or at least gold-plated, just very dirty. But even that, you can't be sure. You believe the artwork was hung with nails made of magic, because nothing can be seen. You spend much time there. In fact, lose all track of it. You finally turn to leave and stop just inside the door. After you open it and look outside, you see again the forest, an edge of that other building beside. Then you take a next step out the door, and you are standing on a city sidewalk near your home. You recognize where you are and turn quickly back to that small room you'd just come from. But both buildings now are gone. Still, you believe you were there, but you can't be sure. And you say under your breath, I should tell someone about that other place. But then say to yourself, why? Who would believe? Thanks. We'll take about a 10-minute break or so, and then we'll do round two. I'll walk around and see who's brought a second poem, too. Thank you all again for having come out.
And you just heard, again, from the January 14th, and the journey continues, monthly open mic reading at the Elm Cafe, readings by Jordan Lane, Penny Page, Bob Brules, Abby Louise, Meg Freer, Catherine Jones, Bruce Cudmore, Brent Raycroft, Keen Ryan, Eric Folsom, Leo Roberts, Anna Johnson, and then me. Tell you what, let's do this. I'll be right back.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by, he won't bother you. He's a busy man, he's got things to do.
It's all here Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house.
Late in the 1970s, four Kingston women got together to discuss the idea of creating a community house, a place where grassroots organizations, families, and groups could gather. A place where food could be prepared and shared, new skills could be learned, and lively discussion could be encouraged. For over 30 years, Kingston Community House has provided low-cost meeting space for hundreds of groups, allowing people to come together to learn from one another, share resources, and trade skills. As it becomes safe once again to gather in person, we look forward to providing the Kingston community with a comfortable and convenient place to reconnect with one another. Located in downtown Kingston, we operate 7 days a week. For more information on Kingston Community House and how to book, please visit kingstoncommunityhouse.org.
Two out of three geese. Six out of seven seagulls. And this Transylvanian owl all agree that if they had their own radios, they would tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM. Broadcasting just for you from Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
And welcome back. You are again listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And it is now about 20 seconds after 45 minutes after 4 o'clock. And the first thing I'd like to do before I bring in the next segments is to thank you all very much for having tuned in to the first hour of the show today. And I hope you can stay tuned to the second for more from that of same event. I would also like to thank all those who participated in the event that evening, and also to Mariana, who was the barista who took great care of us there at the Elm Cafe, and of course to the Elm Cafe itself for always being so supportive. And I've lost track of how many years we've been there already, but it's at least six, I would guess. And it might be more than that. I'll have to look it up, and I'll let you know next week. But or the next time I air readings. We just had another open mic reading there Tuesday night, so I'll be airing those at some point in the next 3 weeks or so. Just a quick reminder, too, something I do at the end of every hour or near the end of every hour is to let you know that both hours of the show are uploaded each week to my personal blog space for it shortly after I get home at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They do remain there for 3 years, and it's pretty easy to find stuff in there, so check it out sometime and see if just kind of see what it looks like, if nothing else. I do want to include a song to take us into the second hour, but to get there, I do have several minutes here again, and I thought I would share some more. I did quite a bit of this last week, and a lot of times I don't have time for this, so it's kind of nice to share. I have a list of some upcoming, some soon-to-close calls for submissions, but then also some upcoming events. So just a couple of the more time-sensitive, I guess, calls for submissions that I have. The first is a short prose competition, and it's the Writers Union of Canada. And this is for emerging writers. The Writers Union of Canada, it says, presents its 32nd annual short prose competition for emerging writers. Unpublished works of fiction or nonfiction, 2,500 word max. Winner will receive $2,500, and the entries of the winner and 11 finalists will be submitted to three Canadian magazines for consideration. So it's a pretty sweet deal. So if you're an emerging writer and have some short prose that's either fiction or nonfiction, go to, just a second. Here we go, www.writersunion.ca/short-prose-competition. And the next one is local. It's the 2025 TK Fringe Festival submissions are open and getting ready to close on February 21st at 8 p.m., so that's the deadline to apply. Just read you a little blurb from their website, just paraphrasing it. The Kick and Push Festival is a conventional arts festival in that it uses a jury selection process to choose its artists. Theatre Kingston was chosen by them to run TK Fringe. It says this festival, several plays each year are chosen first by lottery and is billed as, and this is their quote, unjuried, uncurated, unboring, and with an all capital letters and an exclamation point after each one of those words. To learn more, www.theaterkingston.com/about the TK Fringe. HTML if you need that, and then to find the call itself and details about it, www.theaterkingston.com/TKFringe2025. There we go. Let me go ahead and move now over to some upcoming events, because there are some. My paper's in order here. First thing I might mention is it's an art event. It's happening actually tomorrow afternoon. It's Union Gallery's fundraising event, and I think you can still maybe buy tickets and register, maybe even until tomorrow. But go to their website and check it out. I could be wrong, but if you want to take part, you will just end up buying a either $100 or a $200 ticket, and you will walk away with a piece of art for sure. And that's done by lottery as well. But that runs. The reception is tomorrow. You do have to have a ticket to attend. So again, contact them. Go to go to their website. That would be the easiest thing, and then click on, because I just did that today. Click on the sub link. You'll see an icon or whatever photo, something that says side by side 2025 exhibition. If you click on that, you can open up to all the information that's in there. So I thought I'd just give that one last plug, because again, that is tomorrow. So. And then on air this coming Sunday, and you heard her mention it in the reading as well, Abby Louise is says, quote, this is a quote from her page, is a grateful participant in CFRC's YGK residency program. She is a Kingston-based musician, artist, poet, and community organizer from Atlanta. You can hear her interview and with a performance. Says her that goes on to say her music is mellow and blends R&B, neo-soul, and indie folk with thought-provoking lyrics that reflect on connectedness to each other and the natural world. Again, that's all from her poster. It will, you can related accounts too. You can go to IG accounts at CFRC Music, and also Abby's Instagram account too, that is _ and then one space, and then Voice of Abby. And again, this is happening live this Friday. It also streams at www.cfrc.ca at 1 p.m. this Sunday, February 9th. And how are we doing for time here? Let me see what I've got. You are listening to CFRC. Well, I kind of look things over here. I'm just going to plug it very briefly because it's already been mentioned, but coming up this Monday night, then it would be the next thing on the list. I'm honored to be and humbled to be featured there at the Quirks of Human Nature. It's coming up at the Royal Tavern 2.0, 344 Princess Street, runs from 7:30 to 9:30. It's improvised music and poetry read against it. Excuse me. And Deb Sherman's on piano, Will Van Ryn on guitar, and the bonus poets will be, or, and I should mention, Meg Freer, organize and host. You heard her mention it at the reading. And bonus poets will be Ellison Castiles, Alana Veach, and Selena Chirelli. And with that, I think now what I need to do is I'm going to start to take us into the second hour with some music, and I'm going to play two songs today off of a CD I brought, 2011 CD, I believe, and it is by Feist, and it's called Metals. I've got there are several songs on there that I love very much, and this is probably my favorite. Let's go ahead and start with this one. I'll play another one at the end of the second hour. is again from Feist's Metals album. Song is called Caught a Long Wind. And you just heard from her Metals album, that was Feist. The album came out in 2011. And the song you heard was Caught Alone.